My name's Ronnie. I'm one of the staff pastors at North Point, and every once in a while, I get to convince somebody to let me come and teach. And so it took Ben having a kid to make that happen, but I'm excited to be here. So I think this could be my first time in college in 14 years of working here. So that says something, and maybe my last. So you guys are the lucky ones. There you go. And as excited as I am to be here, I am nowhere near as excited as Ben and Patty are right now to be parents. How about that? Could you imagine Ben as a dad right now? That's got to trip some of you guys out, right? I mean, you guys know Ben. He is getting ready for a major learning curve. That's going to happen very quickly. I have some pictures up that he texted me, so there's a few pictures. Doesn't Ben just look manly right there? I'm always that. They had to give him like a pink wig or red. I don't know what that hairnet's doing, but there's another one that's coming up that they're small enough to both fit in his hand in each one. So how cool is that? Now, this next picture, this last picture that you're going to go to, I really like, you know, there's mom and dad and the babies. Now, as a parent, one thing that you college students need to know is that parents are not supposed to have favorites. They're not. Now, my daughter is my favorite daughter in our whole family. I have four kids, but she's my one daughter. She's my favorite. So I get a pass on that. But I got to tell you, these aren't my kids. And so I can tell you the one on the right is my favorite because she's the chubby one. And I can just relate to someone that, you know, you're going to come out with a little bit of chubby cheeks. I dig that. And so let me give you the one that is my favorite. Her name is Melody Joy. So if you guys want to be praying for her tonight, and the other one is Cameron Grace. And so they're super excited. They're going to be in the hospital for another day or two before they come home. And I'm sure it won't be too many weeks before he's going to come and want to show them off to you guys. So that'll be very cool for them to go through this this part of life. When I think about, you know, Ben having kids and you know, having my own kids a lot of years ago, I can still remember, and your parents will remember, and when you guys have your kids, you're going to remember there's certain things about the characteristics of looking at something that you helped create that's going to stand out, whether it be the hands, the fingers, the toes, the smile, the chubby cheeks. There's certain things that you're always going to remember. And as we continue on this series in which we're talking about being called, it really is fascinating but so amazing that from the time that these two little girls were born this morning, God has shaped and is molding them and has a purpose for them. And he's already beginning to instill within these little bundles of joy certain characteristics, certain traits, certain giftedness and things that he's placed within them that as they grow and as they blossom and mature into young little girls and then young women, and then adult, that hopefully they will unleash and live out the purposes that God has for them. My message title tonight is actually called, It's Already In You. It's already within these little girls. It's already in you. And so as we talk about our giftedness of being called and what's within us, how many of you guys like to receive gifts, right? Like to receive gifts? How many of you would rather give gifts than receive? Sweet. Some of you are lying. That's cool. We like gifts. We like our birthdays, right? Because it's all about who? It's all about us, right? The gifts. Christmas is a second, but then you have to share gifts with other people and so forth. So our birthdays, you know, but we love to get gifts and we love to give gifts. And gifts are a great part of something that helps create memories for us. You know, you always remember that first whatever, whether it be a bike or a Barbie house or what that one thing that you really wanted, and as you tore into the package, just that feeling inside of like, yes, I got it. I've always wanted this. And then you play with it for a couple days and then it's gone somewhere, you know, into the dungeon of the bedroom that you'll never find again. But we have those things that those gifts that we get that we just love. And I believe each one of us, God has placed certain gifts within us from the time that you were born, as you've been maturing and growing, and as you begin to break out into, you guys are in the college, and some of you are getting ready to, or just gotten out of college and headed into this grand world of your career and starting a family, that is going to blossom, then hopefully you realize and you've taken hold of those gifts and have begun to think through and process, how has God shaped me? How has he molded me? How has he gifted me to live out the calling that he has in my life? I believe every single one of us in this room has many gifts that God has given us. Many gifts that are unique to our life, to our personality, to the purpose that he has for us to live out. And once you get a revelation of what God has put in you, it will change everything around you. Once you dig in and you realize and you begin to unearth what God has put in you, it will change your perspective and how you live out your day-to-day lives forever. And so here's the question that I want you to chew on tonight, and this is the first fill-in of your outline, is what am I going to do with the gifts that God's put in me? What am I going to do with those gifts that God's put in me? See, everything that I need to do and everything that he's called me to do is already within you. Everything. To accomplish the things that he has called you to do, it's within you. And your job, if you haven't begun this, as you process through life and through these stages, is for you to unearth that. For you to stir it up and figure out what it is that God has for you. Now, I want to begin tonight with a very weird verse. We all have our certain verses that are our favorite verses that have brought meaning and encouragement and joy and comfort and peace in our life. And I want to take you to a passage of scripture that is going to represent none of those. This is a passage of scripture that you probably have read from time to time throughout your life, but maybe it's something that you probably just glanced over or just read that verse to get to the next verse so that you can move on. And I want to go all the way back to the first book of the Bible in Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, a verse that you probably are familiar with, but you probably haven't camped on for any length of time. And tonight we're going to start by camping right here, this verse. It says, "Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." Soak that in. The creation of mankind. The creation of Adam, the first man to walk on earth, this is how he was created. This is that moment in time. And what I find so interesting about that is it says that he could have created man in any number of ways because he's God. And have you ever thought that how he chose to create us is from dirt? From dirt. For all of you that are stuck up, and you won't admit it, but people around you probably have that in your mind, that picture of you. You're kind of snobbish, you think you're all that. This is a great verse for you really to camp on for the next few weeks. When you think you're all that and a bag of Pringles, realize that you are nothing but dirt. In fact, if you look to the person to the left, look to the person to the right. Now, whether you know them, whether you don't know them, you know their baggage, you know their secrets, you know anything about them, you know their strengths and their giftedness, whatever you know, there's one thing that we can all be clear of tonight is the person that you just looked at is a dirt bag. Because God's word says that's how we were from. We were formed from dirt. It doesn't matter what you look like and how much money's in your pocket or what car you drove up in. We are all the same, created the same from dirt. Isn't it funny what we do to clean up our dirt, to make our dirt look good? Hopefully most of you, hopefully all of you, but I know in a group of this size, probably most of you put on deodorant this morning because we don't like our dirt to stink, right? And thankfully you all dressed up your dirt today before coming to church tonight. But we do these things. It's amazing the industry that is created to make our dirt look good. Right? The things that we do, whether it's the clothes that we wear and the things that we prim and that we prep, you know, ladies, you spend so much money painting and polishing and waxing your dirt. And you show up, and the reality is it's still just dirt. We take 50 selfies just so we can get just that one dirt picture that we can post to social media. Do a Bible study and look up the word dirt. Look up the word where in Scripture, 13 different verses where it says that we as humans came from dirt. And it goes on and says, guess what? That's how we're going to return. Ecclesiastes 3:20 is one. It says, we came from dirt, and when we leave this earth, we will return to dust. This represents you. You're dirt. And dirt is an interesting thing because when I look at and I think of Scripture and I think of God Almighty, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and you look at the solar systems and you look at all of the things that make us go, wow, that blow us away and stop us in our tracks and think of how he could have created us. When you think of the scriptures that talk about our streets that he made of gold, the things that we think about, that he made the moons and the stars and the breathtaking sunsets and the sunrises and the things in nature as you drive up to Yosemite and the things that make you go, wow, and take on God's beauty and then think that we came from dirt. Think on that. Ask yourself, why, God? Why make us out of dirt, not gold and or sapphires or diamonds or something grand that you kind of put? Why are we dirt? And as I begin to read through and just study and just meditate on that, I begin to think, gosh, it's again just shows us the awesomeness of God, that God says, yeah, I'll take the lowest denominator. I'll take the thing that is the dirtiest, the messiest, and then comes from the ground of the earth, and that's what I'm going to create, man. And he says, I'm going to do it in my image. Again, calling you dirt bags isn't to bring you down, but hopefully it's to think about what God can do and how awesome that he is. For some of us, we've made choices in our life in which, you know, we're not proud of. We have shame. We have regrets. And we think through these things and we think, God, the Alpha and the Omega, the creator of the universe, the one who is holy and without sin, created me from dirt. And what I can gather from that is an encouragement to know that God is not afraid to get dirty. He's not afraid to work with dirt. So for some of us, we've come here tonight, and some of us have been walking around for a lot of years, and we feel dirty. We feel unworthy. I think it's another great example in God's creation that he says, yeah, but I can take that dirt and I can mold it, I can shape it, I can breathe life into it. And I can say, watch what my creation can do. Isn't God awesome? That he can take our messy lives and make something beautiful from it. How many of us are happy tonight that God can work with dirt? See, it's for those of us who are jacked up that we can claim that. It's for those of us who know that we're nothing but a mess. And we've done things, we've said things, we've lived in a way in which we know that we're dirty. And so we say, thank you, God, that you'll work with dirt to make me into who you want me to be. Here's your next feeling, is that God can take a great mess and he can turn it into greatness. Whatever's gone on in your life, he can take a great mess and turn it into greatness. And dirt is the only thing that's conducive to the growth of a seed. You can't put a seed in gold. You can't put a seed in diamond. But yet you can take dirt and plant a seed in it and watch some of the greatest trees, the greatest oaks spring forth, the greatest fruit, whatever your fruit is that you love, that can produce incredible, sweet, ripe, tasty treats. Comes from a seed. And that seed had to be planted in dirt. And so I love the fact that as we are looking at this metaphor and we're looking at scripture of how God created us in dirt, that he's planted things within us so that as he plants them within us, we can reach the maximum potential that he has for us. Just like that little seed, as it's nurtured, as it's planted, as it's watered, as it's taken care of, it produces an environment where it can become what it was intended to become. And so you can reach your maximum potential of what God has for you. God's waiting for you to be stirred up and identify what's inside of you. What is it that God's put inside of you that needs to be stirred up, that needs to be brought out in the giftedness of how he shaped you and molded you? 2 Timothy, that's where we're going to camp for the rest of tonight, is this passage of scripture. If you're not familiar with Timothy, Timothy's a young man. Timothy's a young protege of Paul. Paul currently is in prison. In fact, he's living out his last days on this earth as he's shackled, preparing to be executed. And he writes to this young man who he's been ministering with and been ministering to and pouring into, and he writes him a letter. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see you and being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. And when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is, underline this, in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and then in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded, underline this again, is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift that God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and love and a sound mind. What a great call. As Paul sitting in prison writing to this young man, saying, just like your grandmother, just like your mother, I see your faith. I think of you as I sit here in prison, as I prepare to die, and I think of your tears as we said goodbye last time. How much you cared for my well-being. How much you cared about me. And I think of what God has placed within you, and he says, I want you to stir it up. Young Timothy, stir up what God's already placed within you. He's got a plan for you to live that out. To carry the torch as he was going to be the one, as Paul was never going to see the light of day, that this young man needed to stir up the gifts that God had put in him, because God had a great big plan that he needed him to carry the mantle of Christianity and the church in a very dark period of time. To stir it up. So tonight I pray that as you just think through, what is God stirring up within you? How has he gifted you? How has he shaped and molded you and made you unique? And I want to encourage you, don't waste it. Don't wait until you're out of college and you got 2.5 kids and a house on the corner with a white picket fence. Your time is now. God's stirring it up now, saying, I've gifted you and I want you to use what I've called you to do and who I've called you to be and to live that out. See, you're not going to stand before God someday and say, man, you had some great thoughts. Or you're not going to stand in front of God and say, man, Ronnie, you had some incredible intentions. Your follow-through sucks, but your intentions are really good. Well done. No, God's looking to say, I want to see what the return on my investment. I put some things within you. I want you to stir them up. I want you to live them out and be the man or the woman that I've called you and created you to be so that one day you can stand in front of me and we can look at what you've done with what I've given you and I can say, well done, good and faithful servant. And that doesn't start when you reach a certain age or a certain status. It starts when you start a relationship with God. And He begins to reveal those things within you. You begin to get in, digging into His Word, and you allow Him to speak into your life. Where He can say, well done. I love one writer said, the tragedy of life is not death. Rather, what we allow to die inside of us while we're still alive. Far too many people have lived an entire life on earth and died with incredible gifts that were still planted within them that were never stirred up, that were never used, that were never developed. So God put in you something that He wants to stir up. He wants to stir it up. If you get one word just that you take away, because I'm going to say it a gazillion times until it's ingrained in you and you get tired of hearing me say it and then it's stuck with you when you go home. Stir it up. Because God can take dirt, right? The dirt of your life, the dirtiest part of your life, the thing that you're most embarrassed about, you're ashamed of. And He's saying, that's not going to define you. Don't allow that to define you. Don't allow that to become the thing that you settle your life around. Don't settle. Begin to stir up the things that I put inside of you. Those gifts that I've called you, that I say, man, I need that. In the place that I planted you in Fresno, California, whether it be a Fresno City or Fresno State or Pacific, or I'm just working right now, and I'm so sick and tired of school, I don't even want to think about it anymore. Right where He's planted you, He wants to stir some things up. He wants to use you in that environment around those people. But you got to get past the dirt, and you got to get in, and you got to dig, and you got to allow yourself to be able to see that God has put something inside of you, and they're gifts. How many of you guys knew I had something in there? Of course not, right? Because you didn't put it in. You didn't put it in. But as this represents you, this also represents what God's put in you. And the problem, I think, with too many of us is we begin to fall to what other people in life have to say about us and how they're going to define us and how they're going to box us in. And what words that they're going to use to tear us down and to put us and keep us held captive. And we begin to believe when they say, well, you can't do that. You're not good enough for that. You're not smart enough for that. You sure don't look good enough to be in that. And that begins to identify and that becomes our identity. And I can just picture literally if I close my eyes and see God going, why are you listening to them? They're foolish. How do they know what I've created? They didn't put it inside of you. I put it inside of you. Live out the calling that I put in your life. Not what other people say. What gifts has God stirred up in your life that He's called you to? There's always going to be haters. There's always going to be people that bring you down. My favorite study Bible right here. There's always going to be people that are spewing negativity. And so the question is, are you going to believe them? Are you going to allow them to identify you that you're nothing, that you're just dirt? Or are you going to begin to stir up the gifts and say, no, that I'm not going to allow them to define me. I'm going to allow God to define me and God to reveal some things in me and begin to listen to Him. First Corinthians 2:9 says, no eye has seen and no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love Him. Don't listen to the haters. The scripture says, and Paul wrote this to the church of Corinth saying, and he's quoting, this is a cool thing, he's quoting Old Testament scripture. This is found back in the Old Testament, where the prophecy says that you cannot imagine. No eye has seen, no ear has heard. You can't imagine what God has prepared for you as you follow and serve and love Christ. But are you going to stir it up and live it out? Or are you going to settle? Here's your next fill-in. God would not put a call on your life without giving you the gifts to accomplish the call. He wouldn't put a call on your life. And you can go back and look at Moses. What was Moses' issue? Didn't you guys talk about Moses, I think, a couple weeks ago? Moses, right? And I don't say that disrespectfully. Moses had a stuttering problem. Scripture says it. That was his excuse why he wasn't the man that God wanted to use to go stand in front of the most powerful person on the planet to ask to free 3-point-something million people. I can't. You're right, you can't, Moses. But God's put something within you, and he's going to give you the tools that you need to accomplish the thing that he called him to accomplish. And so stop saying, I can't. And begin to say, yes, God, I will. As you reveal, because nothing that he's going to call you to is he not going to also prepare you for and resource you for. We say we have many gifts. And as you think about the gifts, you know one of the things that I think is a disservice of the church? The church magnifies and recognizes stage gifts, right? As we come and we stand and we look at a stage and we see the people standing on the stage, whether they're gifted or they're not so gifted, and we begin to identify, well, I can't sing as good as her. You know, I'm close to Emily. I'm just a couple more practices, and then I'll be there. I can, you know, play the guitar, but not so good, not good enough to be on the stage. I can speak. I mean, I'm not as good as Steve and Ben and Shane, but and we begin to settle and begin to allow those things to get flood our minds and hold us back. And as a church, we talk about the gifts, and yet there are so many gifts. Some of you have the gift of smiling. You say, that's not a gift. Maybe it's just a twitch. Go with it. Because we live in a world in which there are too many people that look like they're too pissed at the world. And so if God's given you a pretty smile, use it to bring joy to other people that you come in contact with. Some of you have the gift of hospitality, of making people feel as though they're outsiders welcomed. Some of you have the gift of encouragement. There are all kinds of gifts that you have to identify how God has created. What can I do? Some of you guys just like to do makeup. Not you guys. I should have went and wrote back. I should have started somewhere else. Makeup. We'll go to the girls over here, right? What can I do with, you know, gosh. How about using that giftedness of you loving to learn about how to paint ladies' faces and make them feel special and dolled up, that can be used as a ministry for ladies that feel ugly, people that need encouraged, that need help. There are all kinds of gifts. David, King David. Okay, we know King David. He's a gifted guy. He was a musician, Scripture says. He obviously had some leadership qualities, right? What are some other gifts that you can think of King David? One of the biggest gifts that David had was his ability to throw rocks. Not anybody can take a little rock, put it in a sling. And I've stood actually in the ravine where the David and Goliath battle happened over in Israel, and I picked up rocks and I brought them back, and they're not boulders. They're just rocks. And I've gone down and I've hunted smooth rocks, and I'm telling you, I can practice and practice. It's not a gifting that I have. David had a gifting of how to throw rocks, and it talks about how he was able to use that, I'm sure, as he fought off as he was a shepherd the animals, the wild animals that came that wanted to munch on his prey. So that was a gift that he used that literally was the gift. It wasn't his voice. It wasn't his leadership ability. It wasn't all those other things God had placed in him. It was his ability to throw rocks, which is the thing that got him into the palace under Saul's leadership to begin to develop some other things within David that he was going to need as David was going to be the one who God chose to lead his people. It started with his ability to throw rocks. And we say, well, that sounds pretty simple. What's that simple thing in your life that God has gifted you to do, and how can you use that for his kingdom? How can you use that as his gift? So let's talk in the few minutes that we got. I got 5 minutes left. What is my shape? We're going to go through this. This is a class that we do, 301 class, and it's really helping people discover in this class, how am I shaped? How has God shaped and molded me? It's an acronym that we're going to use. And the first one for the S, if you want to write this down, is your spiritual gifts. Scripture says that when you became a believer, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and your personal Savior, that you were given, God implanted at least one spiritual gift. And I believe in most of us, he's planted multiple spiritual gifts. Begin to identify what those are. What are the things that God supernaturally has gifted me to do? To see, to recognize. The H is heart. What do I have a passion for and love to do? And again, when we're talking about using your gift, let's take it outside of the church. All right? Let's take it into your environment, whether it be in your home, your community, your school, your sports team, whatever it is. What is your heart? What do you love to do? When it's not Thursday night, what are those things? That's like, man, I can't wait. I can't wait to do this. You find where your heart is at, where it's like, man, if they paid me to do it, or if they didn't pay me, man, I'd be all in. I'd want to be involved. That's your heart, and God has placed different gifts within that that's helped form that passion, that love for that thing, whatever it is. It could be sports, it could be sewing, it could be hunting, it could be any number of things that he can then begin to use for his glory and his purposes for your life. What are your abilities? That's the A. Abilities that he's given, natural talents and skills. Again, you know, there's certain skills that you have and abilities that come naturally to you. One of mine, when I was in high school, I got talked into taking a drafting class because there was a hot chick in there. And my friend thought it would be a great idea if we took it together, you know, because somehow we were going to share this girl. And she wanted nothing to do with either one of us, except for my friend could draw. He had a gifting. In fact, he actually went on to Oklahoma State and became an architect. I can't draw a straight line with a ruler. That's not a natural ability. Man, I did multiple things to try to overcome that and literally cheated my way to get out of that class. So that's not a natural ability. But for some of you, you're incredible. Put a pencil or pen in your hand and you're incredible. Some of you are wordsmiths and your eloquent words can paint a picture that, you know, others would be like, oh man, I wouldn't even know where to begin. Those are those natural abilities they have. Your personality. That's your P, your personality. What is my personality? You know what? If you're an introvert that loves to be home at 6 o'clock with dinner and shut out the world, you're probably not the person that we want on the front patio as our main greeter, right? Because that's not your gig. Now, again, we can all be friendly. But there's some people that are friendly, and then there's some people like, man, I like saying hi to that person. They're smiling, they're enjoying what they're doing. It doesn't look like they're at the dentist. And so we find how God has shaped us and our personalities to make us and put us so we can begin to react in those natural environments. They say, man, I'm a people person. Don't put me in an office. Don't put me in an office where I have to talk to people all day. You know, that's a big difference. You know, some of you know my son. You know, he thinks what I do is like put your finger on chalkboard and just grind them down. It's like, you have to sit and talk to people all day? That's the worst. Just give him a fire hose or actually a pickaxe and a shovel and go send him on a trail and where he could be all by himself. And that's where his natural habitat, because his personality is like, he's more of an introvert and he's the lone ranger. To me, that's like hell. I got, these are preacher hands right here. They're nice and smooth and man, they don't like, that's the most dirt it's seen in a long time by me just playing my hands right here. That's not me. How has God shaped your personality? And how can he use that in the environment in which you're living in today? And then your ease experiences. Those experiences. What experiences? Good and bad. Some of the things that make us feel dirty. Do you know God? Those are some of the greatest things that God can take and mold. Your tragedy, your pain, your hurts. And he can use that, those experiences, to minister to other people that are all around you that you have no idea have gone through or are going through exactly where you've been. What experiences? The day you realize and you begin working within your gifts, I got to tell you, you better get excited and buckle up and hold on because hell's coming. Let me just tell you, this is the last thing. The devil doesn't want you operating out of your shape. He doesn't want you using your gifts to glorify him. He doesn't want you living out his purposes on the earth. So I'm going to leave you with three things. What are you doing with your gifts that God has put in? Because number one, God wants your gift. He wants your gifts. Are you using your gifts for God? Are you being a good steward with what he's planted inside of you? Have you stirred it up and are you using that? So that one day when you stand before him, he can say, well done, good and faithful servant. I've given you and you've taken it and you've multiplied. You used it in your environment, in the world in which you found yourself in. The devil wants your gift too. And how does the devil use our gift? He uses it by playing with our mind that all of a sudden we take our gift, we take our abilities, we take our personality, we take it, and it becomes all about us. And if he can take our focus off of God and put it on us, look what I can do. Look what I've accomplished. Look how cool I am. The devil's won because we've made it about us rather than about him. And be mindful because the people around you want your gift also. The people around you want your gift. Because gifts are attractive. And so don't be one of those that get caught up in other people's gifts and say, man, I wish I could sing as good as Emily. I wish I could play the guitar as good as Kyle. I wish I could worship as good as this guy right here. Jordan. Dude. No, that's man, he does it. And it's awesome. I would do it. You guys would be calling 911. Thinking that something was seriously wrong with me. I'm just saying. I got no rhythm. I got no moves. I keep it nice and close. So. Don't be watching and trying to get other people's gifts. Mimicking and trying to take that. Be who God's created you to be. God has given you each unique gifts that he's placed within you. My prayer is that you'd stir them up and live them out on a daily basis. Bow with me in prayer. Father God, I thank you for each one that's here. I thank you that your word does not return void. I thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for each and every single one of us, how you gifted and shaped us and molded us. God, give us the courage to live that out. Give us that courage that we would focus on you and what you say about us rather than what the world says about us. God, I just pray that we would continue just to seek you and live out those purposes on a daily basis. We love you, we praise you, and we thank you for tonight in your name. Amen.